Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything, reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
This is the Ian Furness Show.
The Boston Celtics have done the hardest thing there is to do in sports. They have taken the title belt off the defending world champion in Game 7 in the second round.
The Mavericks win it 123-90. The Mavericks take the series in seven games and on to San Francisco.
Text us at 49451 and hit the talkback mic on the iHeartRadio app.
They did score a run.
Jesse drives one. Right field and deep. Giddy up, ball gone. We got a tie ball game. Jesse Winker with a three-run bomb. Right on the money. His second Mariner home run. Takes his RBI total of 13. Take your time, Jesse. Score it.
Exavilo of 106, 417 feet.
Kaboom.
And he walks it off, too.
This is the new Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
Big thanks to Root Sports for that highlight there. And, of course, big thanks for the Exit Velo opportunity to get that in as well. Kevin Shockey, how are you on this happy Monday?
I'm so good. Life is good. Getting to see the Mets lose two games. I know. Everyone here is like, the Yankees are the worst. I'm like, okay, you don't understand. I hate the Mets. It was wonderful to see them lose a couple games.
Could you have a better week as a Philly fan? Your team comes here and smacks the Mariners around, and the Mariners go to New York and smack your rival around. You couldn't have a better week.
I mean, I guess as a Philadelphia Phillies only fan, sure. As a Philadelphia sports fan, maybe if my team could have showed up in the playoffs and actually not lost by a million a few different times to the Mets or the Heat. But, you know, whatever. That's not what we're talking about.
That's okay. Hey, we'll get there's some drama in the NBA that you probably, I'm sure, Puckett and Jim played some of it earlier. There's a counter to that today. We'll get to that in the 2 o'clock hour. It's pretty good. Boy, how about our daily power play? The Battle of Alberta. You've heard it be open now for 2 years, and we've got it for you.
Yes.
As great as the or as bad as the NBA game sevens were, those were as great as the NHL game sevens were, which is wild because most of the games in the NHL playoffs, even though we had four game sevens, were not competitive games. They were a lot of them blowouts along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Game sevens yesterday, unbelievable. We'll get to that. We're giving away tickets for the T-Birds tonight. So stand by for that at 1:45. But Kevin, it's a mollywop Monday, last I checked.
I believe yes.
Boy, do we have a lot to get to. But first, headlines.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Brought to you by Venue Kings, VenueKings.com. Let's start first with baseball. Mariners in Toronto tonight, taking on the Blue Jays. One player won't be there. Drew Steckenrider. He apparently couldn't get across the border. Canada says, we don't want you. That happens, Kev. That happens. We don't want you.
I mean, there were some questions when you were going back and forth from Winnipeg, so maybe you just had some trouble.
There were a lot of questions, actually.
I know.
He is the only one, although we know Robbie Ray's not there because they changed the rotation around, so he wouldn't have to deal with that either. Anyway, they play tonight. How about this matchup, though? Flexen and Kikuchi. Hello.
Kikuchi, we'll I've heard of that guy.
You might have heard of him a little bit. We'll get to that in just a couple seconds. I'm taking a series from the Mets over the weekend's first series loss of the year for the New York baseball Metropolitans. How about that? Go Mariners. Mollywop in moments from right now. We have our basketball conference finals set to go. Heat-Celtics determined yesterday with the Celtics win over the defending champion Bucks. You heard the highlight there. Warriors-Mavericks. That was settled yesterday with the Mavericks win as well. So here we go with that. Let's see. Oh, Tiger Woods played another nine holes today in preparation for the PGA Championship. He is a not one, two, three, four-time PGA Championship winner looking for number five. Says his leg feels a lot better than it did before. And Deshaun Watson will meet with the National Football League later this week. Wonder how that's going to go. Hope you enjoy your trip down to the Bahamas. You're taking everybody on because you may not see those guys for a while after that meeting. Let's go. Mollywop time.
It's Monday, and that means one thing. It's time to mollywop.
Julio, a rocket home run to tie this baby up at 5-5.
Uncensored, unscripted, and filled with the passion that all Mariners fans can relate to.
Cal gets into this baby. Ride, Captain, ride! Yes, sir! Cal Raleigh with a launch of a two-run shot. And the Mariners are back in front.
And brought to you by the company that's all about Seattle sports. Simply Seattle. Visit simplyseattle.com for the best Mariners gear.
The other way. That works. Jesse Winker getting a wave on, and he's going to score. Julio Rodriguez, back-to-back plate appearances with RBI. Mariners extend the lead to 8-5 here in the seventh.
Now with the Mollywop boys, Nathan Bishop from Dome and Bedlam, and Chris Crawford with NBC Sports Edge.
Castillo, he's ready, takes a deep side, the pitch, he got him! Yes! 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 And the Mariners beat the Mets!
Along with Kevin Shockey, here's Ian Furness.
It is a Mollywop Monday. We'll tell you about some of the great things that Simply Seattle has going on, including some vintage Seattle Pilots gear at simplyseattle.com. We'll tell you about that. Go to simplyseattle.com and support our great friends, the Munson brothers, Jamie, Joe, and their great group down there, simplyseattle.com. I'm not sure if they still have available and are selling the Bronco Buster shirts. I know it was a limited supply, limited ordering time, but you can go to simplyseattle.com and check in on that. We will tell you about the other things that got baseball-wise in just a couple moments. But, fellas, here we go. Time to mollywop on a Monday. Nathan Bishop, Chris Crawford, Kevin Shockey, and myself as well, all here today. And, gentlemen, this is what it's all about, is it not? I mean, we could have been talking about Jared Kelnick getting sent down. We could have been talking about a lot of different things as things were going south. And lo and behold, they go to a place where they should have probably gotten themselves mollywopped. And they go ahead and beat the Mets in 2 or 3 and could have easily swept that series and probably in the way could have also been swept along the way. Nathan, your opening statement for this week on a Mollywop Monday.
Well, I think that if you replayed that series over the weekend, guys, 10 times, I think the Mariners probably lose it 7 or so. I definitely agree they easily could have been swept. But, hey, the offense is showing signs of life. You've got Julio picking it up. Jesse Winker apparently just needed to get his troll job in with the New York fans in order to really bring himself to life. You've got Ty France still hitting. J.P. Crawford, I've been banging the drum for this offense for a while. I'm starting to see signs of life. So I'm feeling pretty good, man. We're off to Toronto to face, Yusei Kikuchi. It's going to be a nice, tidy 3-hour and 55-minute game, I'd imagine.
Chris, your opening statement for the week, sir.
Ride, Captain, ride, huh? That was a big series. I mean, they needed that. They really, really needed to look competitive against a good baseball team. Nathan's right. They didn't outplay the Mets in that series. But they're a couple of plays away from getting a sweep in that series as well. And that's just how baseball works. And it's, again, I hate to repeat myself, except I actually love to repeat myself because I love the sound of my own voice. These are going to be the ups and downs that we see all year from this team. The highs are going to be high. The lows are going to be low. I count this as a high, this series against Toronto. Maybe we'll end up actually calling that a low, especially Toronto coming off of a not-so-great series in the Trop. But yeah, I mean, it's great to see them win games against a very, very good New York Mets team.
I by the way, forgot to check everybody as you came into the Mollywop country today. Is everybody vaxxed? Everybody good to go? Nathan, where's your papers? Chris, where's your papers? Are you guys all good? Do we need to make this a Mollywop Tuesday to make sure everyone's we'll kind of change our rotation there, Robbie Ray? Are you guys all good? Kevin's showing me he's vaxxed card. Good. You're good to go, Kev. You're okay on this. You're okay.
Triple boosted, baby.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I just like to eat in Seattle. There's some great restaurants there, so I was definitely going to get the jab for that.
Steckenrider's the only one I believe that's going to well, Robbie Ray won't be there, but they kind of weird.
Interesting. So it's interesting the way that works is because they're not allowed to put him on the restricted list because then they would be basically able to get another reliever on the major league roster. Right. So because of that, I don't believe he's going to lose any money either.
That's a sweet deal if you can get it.
I'd like to, you know, get free days off and not have to worry about working. Well, and
maybe
still
you can
get
maybe you can get a maybe you can get a neck massage for watching that home run Lindor hit off of him. That whiplash that he got from that one. We'll see.
That was crushed.
Oh man! I would pay a lot of money to watch Jesse Winker play against the Mets every single day of the year. That was so fun.
Let me go back on that for a second. Raise your hand here if you want to tell the backstory to, and maybe it's you, Kevin, the backstory to Winker and the Mets fans. Because, you know, I was See, we're driving back from Spokane, so I'm kind of listening to the radio feed yesterday, courtesy of MLB.com. That's where you get the radio feeds. It's perfect on the MLB app. So I was listening to that, and they kept talking about it, but they never gave the backstory. So Kevin or Chris, Nathan, do you guys know the backstory with him and the Mets fans?
There's not a huge – it didn't see – I did a little bit of reading. There's not some huge big story of anything. He plays in the outfield of the Mets, and he goes back and forth with the fans that are in the outfield stands. And
so that's he just has fun with it.
Yeah, and if you read the quotes that he gave after the game, he was look, he had fun. And look, that's the game they lost for the weekend. So I recognize that even – talking about this all as being fun sounds silly, but like, it was just really fun. I really enjoyed that part of the game. And like, in a 162 game season, you actually can a little bit like just kind of, you're allowed to take some joy even out of some losses. Like, there can be good things that happen in them. And I just, that and like the 4.5 hour trot around the bases and that chump of a pitcher for the Mets trying to talk to him as he's going, man, shut the hell up. I enjoyed the fun of that. And I think if all of a sudden Jesse Winker leans into the fact that he has personality, and that will probably go along with him having a little bit more success at the plate.
Yes.
And you got Julio Rodriguez with some personality. We've seen JP Crawford as personality. Like, if they can start to loosen up as it warms up and the marine layer goes away, whatever it is, if they can actually relax a little bit and everybody kind of starts rising up a little bit with their attitudes and the ability, not they've had bad attitudes, that game, even though it was the one loss of the series, just felt really good to me.
Well, let's do this. We can go with a lot of different guys we want to get to. In general terms, M's are it's funny because going into the weekend, you know, we're all kind of thinking what are we talking about Monday, and I think the thought was going to be, boy, this is going to be just another absolute downer negative Molly Watt Monday, which is not what you want. Contrary to what people may believe, that's not what we want to do. We'd rather talk about winning baseball and teams that are having fun. They're still 4-6-1 this year in terms of their overall series. They've had one road series win all year. They just had that one against, again, maybe the best team in the National League, or one of the top two over the Mets. But let's start with Winker. 7-game hitting streak, hits in 10 of his last 11. In May, he's hitting .296, 4 doubles, 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, and 3 walks as well. His last 7 games, he's 9-for-27 in those last 7 games as two. So, Chris, start with you. What are you seeing from Winker? Are we starting to see this guy truly heat up and be what we expect him to be?
Yeah, absolutely. And like we talked about last week, Jesse Winker was one of the most unlucky hitters in baseball. I mean, you look at like he had an expected batting averages. And what that means is that the batting average based on how hard you're hitting the baseball and how much contact you're making with the baseball, what it should be in the 92nd percentile of all hitters. And yet he was still hitting below 200 for a long time. I mean, look, there are flaws to Jesse Winker's game. It was great to see him hit a home run against left-handed pitching. That has not been something that has been Jesse Winker's strong suit over time. If he can be a moderately decent player against left-handed hitters, that's a big benefit for them, not just this year and going forward. I love the fact that the Mariners are having him in the lineup against left-handers, because it's the only way it's going to get better is getting those repetitions. Jesse Winker is a legitimate middle-of-the-order hitter, and the results are starting to show that.
Nathan?
Yeah, I think that if you watch a lot of baseball, you kind of can see these guys. And Kevin was saying there's so much baseball for us to watch that Winker did have a really rough start luck-wise. And to Chris's point there, that he hit, I think, 4 balls that were caught either on the track or at the wall in the first week of the season. And then I felt like for, you know, the last like 2 or 3 weeks, you were actually really seeing him struggle. He was not catching good wood on the ball at all. Lots of weak contact, lots of pop-ups, weak ground balls, et cetera, turning over a lot of pitches and rolling it over the second baseman. And just this past series with the Mets, I don't know how, even the pitches he was missing, he just looks like that timing is coming back together. He was swinging through some pitches that he was right there. That ball he hit off of, do you say it, is it Chasen Shreve?
Does it matter?
No,
I don't know. Chasing the ball 500 feet, because that ball got absolutely destroyed. And so, I mean, this is the guy that they need. They need him to be, as Chris said, that number 4, number 5 guy in this lineup, especially against right-handed pitchers, because he's the Joey Votto light that they need in this lineup.
I feel like we're Molly Watt Monday brought to you by Simply Seattle. We're kind of bearing the lead, though. And all due respect, it's not you, Diego Castillo, who they went to in a pure panic move with no other way to go, nowhere else to go at that point in time. We may get to him in the bullpen in a little bit, but I'll just say the name, Chris, and I'll let you fill in the blank. Julio Rodriguez.
I mean, he is already their second best player, and I think you can make the argument that he is their best player right now. All due respect to J.P. Crawford. I need to see J.P. Crawford put it together for a full season. I will be keep repeating that until it's been a full season. Julio Rodriguez, I mean, even when the struggles were happening and a lot of it had to do with umpiring, I don't care what anyone tells me, a lot of it had to do with poor umpiring, was still among the best in hard hit percentage in all of baseball when he was actually given pitches that he could actually hit. And now you're seeing him just absolutely mollywop the flipping baseball. And it's so fun to see from somebody who has so much joy playing the game. Every time I see Julio Rodriguez smile, I smile and want to subscribe to whatever service he could possibly provide me, because he is just the most charismatic dude. That is a legitimate superstar, and it's been so fun to watch. I mean, you look at the numbers over like the last 22 games, he has been their best player, and by a pretty considerable margin. This is really, really fun to see, and man, I am just so excited to see what Julio Rodriguez is going to do in these coming months. It's going to be awesome.
Nathan, the word that Chris used, he's a superstar. It's interesting. I think it was during the hockey game on ESPN last night, one of the two hockey games. There's a new spot out with Big Poppy. Who else is it? I think, is it Derek Jeter, maybe? In there, and then two ex-Mariners, Griffey and Randy Johnson.
For like DirecTV or something like that, yeah.
DirecTV. And I was thinking to myself, wow, four iconic baseball figures, two of whom were actually Seattle Mariners. Yeah. They never won anything, but they were both Mariners. But we haven't had that guy. Maybe Ichiro, I guess, was that guy to a certain extent, but already established. Nathan, put into words what Julio is right now.
I think if you want to draw a close approximation in the history time frame that a lot of people, because I'm old and a lot of us are old now, and our memories go back to Griffey and Junior Griffey, A-Rod, and Randy. But for younger fans, I think the closest approximation is Felix Hernandez. And it's this feeling of we're so used to the hype, especially with this front office. We've heard it over and over and over again. Jerry DePoto was talking up, I don't know anybody. I think we used to have a running joke at the Dome and Bedlam site that he had called, I think, something like 10 to 15 different guys a five-tool player at one point. Like, we've just heard it over and over and over again with this guy. And just like with Felix, Julio is the guy that breaks through all of the cynicism. He breaks through all of the doubt that you have, that you've been conditioned to feel about this organization. To Chris's point, the adjustment has already happened, guys. After the eighth game of the season, Julio struck out three times. On April 16th, he was hitting 107, 194, 143. Since that time, in 26 games, he's at 309, 368, 433. He's running a high BABIP, partially because he's so damn fast, you can't even believe it. All he needs to do is hit the ball a little bit more in the air, strike out a little bit less, walk just a touch more, and he is a superstar. I expect him to be a superstar by the end of this season, his 21-year-old season, and he will be the Mariners' best player by the end of this year. I am almost certain of that, as long as he is healthy.
Knock on wood. I honestly was looking at his game log too, and if you look at it, it gets harder to raise your rate numbers as the season goes on, because they're just, the sample size is bigger and it's harder to move them up. But he is literally every step of the way since that low point on the 16th, he's gotten better and better and better. Everything is getting better. And I was reading this baseball nerd guy that I follow on Twitter, who said, was looking at some stats for my video recordings this week and saw that a player who has a 738 OPS has an OPS plus of 123. Now, that nerd also happens to be a guy that's on here on the Mollywop show. But so OPS plus, if you're at 100, that's league average. The point here is we sort of need to recalibrate a little bit for now what good offense is, because league average offense is just surprisingly low. The same way that we've all kind of learned over the years that maybe a 330 batting average isn't reasonable anymore, but a 280 batting average can be really good.
Yep.
Well, the same thing with OPS. So when I see a 738 OPS, I think, okay, well, he's fine. No, he's actually really good.
Yeah.
And that's, so these numbers that we're seeing for all of these guys in the Mariners right now, I expected Jesse Winker to be better, But the thing is, he's league average right now. And he's and he's league average, and he's on the way up. Same thing with Julio. I don't know what his OPS plus is right now. I'm guessing it's probably like 90 or so. But he's on the way up too. So I do feel like some of these guys that we expected a little bit more from are getting better, and they're actually already at average, which is hard to believe, but it actually is true.
And Julio's OPS plus is 111 after yesterday's 4-for-4 game.
Forgive
so
me.
There you go. 11% above league average on offense from your 21-year-old center fielder who's running around like a gazelle out there, far better than I thought he would. So
crazy.
And one of the best base runners in baseball already. So,
yeah, I mean he leads the league in stolen bases.
Everything.
And even when he makes a mistake on the base pass, you don't even care.
Nope.
Like because he creates so much other havoc when he's out there. He's number two among rookies in Major Leagues too in his WAR. So according to Fangraphs, so his uptick is really, it's just truly remarkable. All right, there's more good news to get to. There's a series against Toronto. They've got two more road series before they come home. We'll get to all of that. We do need to hit the Kelnick story. We do need to hit that because as we're throwing bouquets and flowers and all kinds of accolades at Julio Rodriguez, and rightfully so, there's a young guy that was able to work through some early struggles and is on his way up. Why not Jared Kelnick? Chris, Nathan, Kevin will answer that question when we come back. Molly Watt Monday brought to you by Simply Seattle on Sports Radio, 93.3 KJRFM.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything, reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Ian Furness.
We are back. Big thanks to our good friends at Simply Seattle. They just dropped a new Hyper Hoop Sonics collection. Two jerseys, two shorts, and a matching hoodie. You can check that out. Also, the Seattle Pilots collection is up there as well. For if you like the old school, our first ever major league team that was in Seattle, the Seattle Pilots, go to Simply Seattle, simplyseattle.com. They were, as they say in the business, one and done, our friends, the Seattle Pilots back then. Nathan Bishop, Chris Crawford, Ian Furness, and Kevin Shockey with you on a Molly Watt Monday, brought to you by Simply Seattle, simplyseattle.com. Nathan, what the hell? Like, they give Julio a chance to work his way out of it. No Jared Kelnick?
Well, 2021 did happen for Jared Kelnick, where we gave him the vast majority of a season. It's pretty tough with JK. I tend to align with Chris that I think that there's definitely a really good Major League Baseball player in there at some point. I think last week when I was on, I threw out a comp of some guys like Alex Gordon, who really didn't find his stride until he was 27 years old. But the concerning thing with Kelenic now is that the more he struggles, and now I think sending him down to AAA was the right call, but the longer he struggles like this, the harder and harder it becomes to find guys that have come before him that have struggled like this for this long and then gone on to be good Major League Baseball players. It doesn't mean that the book's written or closed or anything on him, but and the tools are there. And I'm super encouraged by the defense and right. But, I mean, Chris would be able to say better than me that there's still a good player in here. But yeah, I think he needs the time in AAA.
Chris?
I just think, well, first of all, I think it's great to send him down because it's going to give Nathan time to finally pronounce this guy's name right. It's going to be wonderful by the time he's ready to go.
It's a bonus. It's a bonus syllable. I'm giving, making his name longer out of respect.
Just extend the Kelnick.
Jared Kelnick.
When you pronounce it like that, you're taking away my time because you're adding this extra syllable. I think it was absolutely the right decision. I don't think there's anything that Jared Kelnick is going to figure out in AAA. It's just the fact that the Mariners are a team that needs to win baseball games right now. And as good as his defense in the outfield was, he wasn't helping him win baseball games. And he's 22 years old. Yes. There is plenty of time. Look, Nathan makes a great point that he is going to be an outlier for the type of player that he is to be as bad as he's been to come back and become more than an average Major League Baseball player. But there aren't too many guys who are as talented and was unanimously considered one of the best prospects in baseball who have this type of start either. Like it just takes some time for some guys. It's just he has a higher hill to climb, but it's not about him going to AAA and working on a new batting stance or anything like that. It's just about the fact that when you're struggling, you don't get to play in the majors for a team that is supposed to be competing for a playoff spot. Steven Souza is not the answer. Kyle Lewis, when he comes back, I'm very skeptical about whether or not he's the answer. But right now, Jared Kelnick is not right for the 2022 Seattle Mariners.
Chris, Nathan gave us a comp of a guy, Gordon, right? Alex Gordon, that got, you know, that figured it out, but he was 27. I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy.
Sure.
Is there a comp for someone that was thought to be Jared Kelnick that just never got there?
Sure. Yeah. There are there's a guy that Kevin Shockey will know pretty well named Dominic Brown, who was considered the best prospect in baseball, who just flat out never became more than a, you know, organizational depth. So yes, there is the chance that Jared Kelnick is not going to work out. There are prospects fail. Baseball is a very hard sport to project. We're getting better and better at it, but there are guys who fail at this level. And right now, if you had to put the betting odds, most of the people I talk to are more concerned about Kelnick than optimistic. This is just the way that this is going.
I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. Because
absolutely.
We're all kind of always, whether it's, you know, you read what Divish will say and write, who's with him every day, whether it's you guys and Chris and you're studying that kind of stuff. Nathan's got a great historical perspective, and it's like all these different, and you know, the general baseball world, you know, I mean, the Keith Laws and everybody out there, like, he's going to be just fine. I keep asking myself, are we sure?
Yeah.
Are we sure?
Yeah. There are lots of people I've talked to who are very, very concerned about what's going on, mainly because he just doesn't appear to be tracking the baseball very well. I've also talked to some folks who think that the Mariners have kind of made a mistake here in making him a launch angle guy. Like when he was coming up in high school, this was a guy who slashed the baseball to all parts of the field. Mm. It's hard to ask anybody to hit the ball to the opposite field right now because that's just not how they're pitching Jared Kelnick. There's no reason to throw anything but pitches inside of the plate. And so he's going to try to hit the ball over the park because this is just kind of the new analytical thing. So you would be talking about a major swing change again for Jared Kelnick to become that type of player again. But there are some people who think that this is not much more than an eighth platoon outfielder at this point.
Kevin, are you concerned with him at all?
I don't know how you can not be concerned at this point.
Right.
It's funny. One of the things that I remember saying at the beginning of the year is if they have Kelnick and Julio up at the same time, I wonder if that can take some of the pressure off of Kelnick. Because, like, hey, all the focus is going to be on Julio. And look, if you look at their advertising campaigns and all that sort of stuff, it's been all Julio all the time.
Right.
But I wonder, the fact that they both got off to a rough start and Julio has figured it out, I mean, everything we've seen, the numbers that Nathan quoted from the 16th of April to now, I mean, Julio is clearly going all up in the right direction, and Kelnick was very much not. And I wonder if that thing that I thought might be a positive actually created more pressure on him because he's like, crap, this guy's younger, and he started off rough just like I did, and now he's doing it, and I'm not. So
right.
You know, I don't love the idea of sending him down to AAA because I don't think it helped him last year either.
Nope.
But I don't know what the answer is there. They clearly don't have one because I don't know that there is one other than just like, well, maybe he will relax a little bit again in AAA. I'll say this. The thing that was most clear to me, something had to change after that pinch hit appearance because that pinch hit appearance where he stood up there and might as well have been holding a noodle like those guys in the Geico commercial and playing hockey. Like he might as well have not been there. He was absent despite being in the batter's box.
Well, they put him in a position to like either be a massive hero or just like, or just fail miserably and have no other choice but to send him down. Nathan, let me flip. You mentioned the offense earlier. And before we kind of get, I want to get to Robbie Ray for a second. Overall, the offense, you've been optimistic about the offense as a whole. Kyle Lewis is getting things done. At some point, we hope to see Mitch Haniger back, but we're not really sure. Julio's cranking it up. Give our listeners a reason overall, besides just Julio, for your overall optimism for this offense.
Well, I think that you already started to see it over the weekend, but generally speaking, I think that anybody who's watched the Mariners for any amount of time is familiar with the patented 1 to 2 to 3 to possibly more giant gaping voids of suck in the lineup day after day after day after day. And at this point, this lineup more or less, now today we have Abraham Toro batting leadoff for reasons that pass completely over my understanding, but generally speaking, I see this lineup as being more or less black hole vacant. There aren't these giant gaping black holes, with the exception maybe of the catcher position right now, and they do need Tom Murphy to get back healthy really quickly. But not only do they have some length in this lineup, they have some legitimate superstar. I mean, Ty France, you guys, is one of the best hitters in the American League, full stop, right now. The guy is striking out less than, he's the third least likely guy to strike out hitter in all of Major League Baseball. He's hitting .330. J.P. Crawford looks like he's at least as good as all the guys we all bellyache for them to sign all offseason. Julio continues to show upside. If Haniger and or Lewis can come back at some point and provide them with above average offense, I don't think it's elite. It's not the Yankees. You know, it's not the Phillies who just came in here with their lineup of 10 DHs that they're going to just bludgeon you to death with. But I think that it's the kind of offense that if things go right and this rotation stabilizes with George Kirby in it, you can squint and see that upper 10 kind of offense that, along with a decent rotation and along with a hopefully vastly getting healthy bullpen, will lead to, you know, a talented quality team in the second half of the season. That's okay. That's the optimistic view.
Okay, Chris, that leaves us to the rotation. Yep. We saw Robbie Ray yesterday, and he gets a lot of swings and misses. I think, what is he right now? He's number one or number two, and you know, he's right up there among the league leaders in swing and misses, but he always has an inning. He just always has an inning. You know, we're not sure what we can count on with guys elsewhere through that. We'll see Logan Gilbert tomorrow. He's shown a little bit of humanity or just mortality the last couple starts. But overall, thoughts on the rotation, and maybe start with Ray.
Yeah, it's funny. It's that I came away kind of impressed with Ray's start yesterday, which was not the takeaway according to Twitter.com, which is just a terrific place again. You know, he gave up the 5 runs, but he had the 9 strikeouts. I thought it was big that he bounced back from that inning and came out back and threw a shutout inning the inning after. I mean, the shutdown inning thing gets made fun of in the postseason all of the time, but it is kind of big that he came back. It's just about for Robbie right now, avoiding that one inning. And I cannot help but wonder if he's tiring in these starts because, yes, he did give up that long home run to Lindor, but he was really, really good in the next 3 innings. And then all of a sudden the 4th inning happened. He was very, very good against Philadelphia. He did have a 1 inning where things kind of scuffled for him and he bounced back from that. He was very good against the Marlins. And then that 1 inning happened. Robbie Ray, I think, is going to be fine. The problem with Robbie Ray is, the Mariners addressed Robbie Ray as if he was the solution to the rotation, and he's not the solution to the rotation. If he was the solution to the rotation, he signed a 5-year, $115 million contract, which is $23 million a year. If Robbie Ray was a solution to the rotation, he's getting an awful lot more than $23 million a year. See, look at what Max Scherzer got from the Mets. The Mariner rotation is going to have a ton of up and downs because they've got two guys that don't get missed bats at the bottom of it, and then two young guys pitching in the middle in that rotation in Kirby and Gilbert. It is just going to be another up and down roller coaster ride. But what I'm the most confident in is still Robbie Ray.
Kev?
It's funny how the conversation we talked earlier a little about the comparing Robbie Ray and Marco Gonzalez, that again, the same way that we need to kind of change the way that we look at offensive numbers right now in this climate of however you want to call it. Sure. Similarly, I think we need to change the way that we're talking about dollars for baseball players, because, you know, it's funny, you hear $23 million a year for a pitcher. Holy cow, that's crazy. But it's actually like, you know, as we were talking about, the top pitchers are getting 40 plus, like crazy numbers.
Yep.
$23 million is just not a crazy number.
Nope.
So if Robbie Ray can comfortably, you know, if he can comfortably be your number two with Marco as your number three, then the rotation is just not that terrible. Like, you can feel okay about it, especially with what Gilbert's been giving you.
Nathan, did you want to wrap up one thing with Kelnick before we go?
Yeah, I just wanted to say really quick, as we were talking about it, I wanted to really emphasize that, you know, even if Jared Kelnick washes out, you're going to look at this development at the end of this year, and if George Kirby sticks, you've got George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, and Julio Rodriguez all making a big impact on the Major League roster. Guys, that is a huge developmental win if nothing else happens, and I just wanted to point that out. The guys like Kelenic busting needs to be factored into the equation when you're planning your roster ahead of time. And that this is why, not to bang that drum too loud, this is why you go out and get as much talent as you possibly can. You do not save space for prospects, because this prospect attrition, you may not know who and you may not know when, a lot of them are going to bust.
But Kevin, the outfield is what?
It's well, we've got the bottleneck and the logjam. No, he's totally right, man. Look, things have a way of working.
A bottle or a log out there?
Yes. things have a way of working themselves out. They just they always do. And whether it's from injury, and you know nobody wants to get injured, but there are going to be injuries and there are going to be problems, especially with young guys. And you have a DH, you can move some things around. You could have made it work if you brought in another outfielder. You could have made it work if you brought in a third baseman. You could have made it work if you brought in a second baseman. There were things that you could have done, and it always works out.
If your plan is for everything to go right, you don't have a plan.
That would be the no plan plan. All right, Chris Crawford, tell us about NBC Sports Edge and where we can find all your great work these days.
NBCSportsEdge.com, Twitter, Crawford_MILB. Please check out the Circling the Bases podcast.
All right. Nathan, Dolman Bedlam.
You follow me at Nathan_H_B on Twitter. You can also read, I have a weekly column at DolmanBedlam.com that is currently late because my kids, for some reason, enjoy spending time with me.
Jerks.
It's not the dog's fault this time. I just figured
everything.
You've been
such a good girl this week.
She has. Good.
I like that. The kids like to spend time with you. Well, see, and so do we every Monday. Big thanks to Simply Seattle, simplyseattle.com. Check out the Sonics and Pilots gear that they just dropped up there. You can check that out at simplyseattle.com. Gentlemen, we'll mollywop again next week after a series in both Toronto and then a four-game set in Boston. Let's hope we continue with some positive. Kevin's just got survive. A bad look on it. Did you suck on a lemon, Kevin? What happened to you right there?
This is a rough road trip.
Hey, it started out with a bang, 2-3 against the Mets. You know, it's we're good. We'll talk about it next week on Mollywop Monday, a week from today. Gentlemen, have a great week. We'll come back. Daily Power Play includes one of the best rivalries in all of sports that will resume in the next round of the playoffs. We'll tell you about that next. 93.3 KJRFM.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
Malkin shoots one in on goal. Deflection. They score! It's Crosby!
In front, Kucherov! Score!
This is the Daily Power Play.
What a blast from Nathan MacKinnon, and there's a power play goal.
Now Ian Furness on Sports Radio 950.
This is the battle of Alberta we've been waiting for.
KJR.
First net. 5 minutes left in the first overtime. Here's Lindholm to Gaudreau. Near quarter to Kachuk. Behind the net to Gaudreau. He walks in front and drops. Lindholm shoots it up. Sure. Makes the right shoulder save. Gaudreau. Scores!
And the sea of red erupts. 4 wins down, 12 to go. The Calgary Flames eliminate the Dallas Stars with a 3-2 overtime win in game number 7, setting up a second round showdown with the Edmonton Oilers. Buckle up, hockey fans, because for the first time in more than 3 decades, there will be a Battle of Alberta in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
What a game. I would just say, Kevin, what a weekend for the National Hockey League. They wrapped the first round up with the highest scoring opening round, by the way, in 27 years. So if you're so inclined to see our friends up at Snoqualmie Casino, see how close to the sports book, bet the over. Bet the over along the way. Rangers and Flames. You didn't hear the Rangers there. That was a Flames game. Rangers and Flames both winning game sevens, both of which were in overtime. Five game sevens over the weekend in the National Hockey League. Four of the five, a one-goal margin, including those overtime games yesterday. It was just one of those just absolutely remarkable and entertaining weekends. If you're a hockey fan, and even if you're not, man, check it out. Third most games in a round in NHL history. They have 51 games in the first round. That means that they all went, except for one series, six or seven games, 14 elimination games as well, 19 comeback wins. So almost 40% of the games in the first round feature someone coming from behind to win. Never turn the channel is what they're telling you along the way. Artemi Panarin scored for the Rangers in overtime to eliminate the Penguins last night. And then you heard that goal by Johnny Gaudreau for the Flames. He scored at 15:09 of overtime to get Calgary in. And somehow he was able, from a sharp angle, to beat Jake Oettinger, the goalie from Dallas, who had, wait for it, 64 saves. He had 50-plus just in regulation. Second goaltender to have 60 saves in a Game 7. Kelly Rudy had 73 back in 1987. But that was just, I mean, Oettinger was phenomenal. Dallas, a hard team to watch. They're kind of boring. They're kind of slow. They kind of like to slow the game down. Calgary, not so much. And now, what do we get in the next round? We've had this in the open for a couple of years. And I think the Daily Power Play was almost born from the highlights we had from the Battle of Alberta, was it not?
It was when they had the full line brawl and everyone just lost their minds. This is the Battle of Alberta we've been waiting for. Like just absolutely. I mean, you hear it every day if you listen to the show. And I don't think I ever want to change it. I hope long after I'm gone, I hope whoever is hosting this show, when you're gone, I'm gone, everyone, they're still playing that because it's so good. And to think, like, seven game series are so good for developing sports hate.
Yes.
But to think
yes.
that you're going into it with this, like, ungodly amount of sports hate already. They hate each other.
Well, and if I look at Tampa Bay, so here's the thing. You know, the Battle of Florida, Tampa Bay and Florida. And, you know, I think outside of the Sunshine State, people are like, whatever. I mean, Tampa Bay, though, two-time Stanley Cup champions. They come back from a series deficit to eliminate Toronto on Saturday, mm-hmm. taking on Florida, the number one seed in the East. And here's what jumps out at me with that. I think those two, Tampa Bay does really well. Florida, for a long time, playing before an empty building. That yeah. won't be the case in this series. They needed each other in the second round. They get each other. That starts tomorrow. The other one, St. Louis, Colorado in the West, starts tomorrow as well. Those two teams don't like each other, and they both play a really big, strong, physical, kind of a good pass-paced game. That's going to be a great series. Rangers-Carolina will be fun, but there will be nothing like Edmonton and Calgary. That starts on Wednesday. At 6:30 our time on Wednesday in Calgary with Game 1. Listen, if you have Comcast, I'm just telling you right now, watch the CBC broadcast. It's going to be phenomenal. They're going to just play it up like nothing. It would be like, I'm just trying to think, in our country, I mean, it's Red Sox-Yankees, basically. It's Ohio State, Michigan. It's Alabama-Auburn. And they're playing and they're playing seven games potentially.
It's gonna be insane. So good. Really, really excited about that. And it's also nice because it's gonna be the later games too. It's not gonna be that 4 o'clock stuff that we have to deal with sometimes.
Yes.
I can't wait. Now okay. Ian, if you'll allow me briefly.
Yes.
The fact that the Maple Leafs lost again and haven't won a series that haven't exited the first round in like 30 years.
Yes.
I said this on the weekend, and I just want to hear your initial response, and we don't need to spend a ton of time on it, but I said, I actually almost feel a little bit bad for Toronto. I can't think of a city that wants a championship more than Toronto wants a Stanley Cup, and yet they haven't won since 67, and they haven't even come close in like 30 years. And I said, I know Mariners fans are desperate for a World Series. I know they are, and this is not a shot at Mariners fans, but... Are they Toronto fans desperate for a Stanley Cup desperate? Because I don't know if there's any fan base for any team in any sport that can match Toronto's desperation for a Stanley Cup, and they haven't even come close.
That's a great question, and I think the answer is Mariner fans for a World Series it doesn't rival what, because the Mariners are still not the number one team in town. The Seahawks are, and they have won, and we've won a Super Bowl here. We've been back to the Super Bowl. They've been there three times, won one, and it's in fairly recent fashion. Mariners, I'm not saying the Mariners going to the World Series wouldn't be huge.
It's not a shot at Mariners fans.
No, it's not even a shot at a market. It's hockey. It's such a hot. It's where hockey is. It's the most. It is the biggest thing, and it's not even close. It's where the whole country revolves around the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're the Yankees.
Like they like the Blue Jays and they like the Raptors, but
you know
come
what
on.
It is. They're in their country. They're the Yankees and they're the Dallas Cowboys. And I'll just give you the example of this. You know, when you turn on the TV on ESPN any morning and you're watching anything, whether it be First Take or whatever the Greenberg show of the day is and all those things, right? And what do they always do? There's always a segment an hour on the Dallas Cowboys. There just is, right? What do you think of the Cowboys schedule? Who's going to be the backup left guard for the Cowboys? That's what the Maple Leafs are in Canada. And so the fact that they can't get there, it is Cowboy-like. I mean, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl in forever.
Yeah.
Right?
But they've won it a lot more. 1967. There are grandparents in Toronto that have not seen a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't have any Toronto hate. I know my friends in British Columbia do.
Oh, boy.
But I don't have any Toronto hate, but I can understand it because it's Dallas Cowboy type hate.
Yeah.
And I feel that. I think we can all relate to that
in
the U.S.
Sure.
Okay, we got to get to break. Real quick, listen to the following phrase. Don't text it now. We'll ask for it about 2:40 today, okay? 2:39. Portland sucks. Just remember those two words. Portland sucks. We're going to give away some Thunderbird tickets. They're playing tonight, game 6, trying to stay alive against Portland, the Winterhawks. A bunch of NHL prospects in that game. We'll tell you more about that in the next hour. But just remember, Portland sucks. We'll ask you to text that in later. We'll come back, revisit the Mariners. Also, some NBA hate. Now it's going back and forth, and it's getting good. We'll tell you about that on 93.3 KJRFM.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. J. Rudd at Aurora LASIK and auroralasik.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's auroralasik.com for your refractive lens exchange.